Sorry. It's my mom. I think she's probably checking on the date. It won't take long. Hello? Yes, I'm with him right now. No, not very attractive. No, doesn't make much money. It's all right, though. Seems nice. Kind of funny. A bit fat. Has a funny little snub nose. Mm. Kind of like a frog in a facial.
Yeah, but...
No, I won't be sleeping with him tonight. Nope. Probably not even a kiss. Okay, you too. Bye. Sorry about that.
It's all right. Don't think twice. How is your mum, all right?
She's all right.
Great. That's...
Summer is eternity for you, sleeping in until your father's shaking you down. He's shaking you down. And the mailroom shift gets a real short shrift as you dole out the packages. No one seems to.
So, hi, and welcome to the Only Move podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And if you don't know by now, that nonsense, if you're hearing at all, I'm assuming you are, it's called soca.
We love soca!
Move to the left, move to the right.
You have to say soca in the soca.
Soca, move to the left.
Thank you.
So there are two things generally that this type of music does. Mm-hmm. One, they talk about themselves in the third person.
Of course.
And two, they instruct you on how to dance to the song.
Because you won't know.
And three, actually, there's a third. You must have a flag and you must wave it. Or your rag, sorry.
Yeah, a rag.
Rag. It's
same difference. Soca is the worst music.
If you were the kind of person who, when you heard Douglas and Damien make those jokes, or you're listening to the music in the background and you're bopping around and enjoying yourself, please turn off the show. Yeah. I don't want you.
We don't want soca fans on this podcast. We've had enough of your kind.
I have to endure it because they're next door right now. And whilst I think I am a formidable foe, I think 10 security guys can take me down. Probably a half of one could.
You need to have belief in yourself. You can achieve anything that you put your mind to, and lot of bullets.
So basically, rewatch The Raid and just go and follow that script, mm-hmm. and I'll win. Okay, alright. Anyways, this week on the podcast, Douglas has asked us to go back to the 70s. He's asked us to go back to
the year
a time in which Orson Welles was still a figure of respect. When he gave us this documentary about con artists, fakery, and general lies and tricks called F for Fake.
Ladies and gentlemen, by way of introduction, this is a film about trickery and fraud, about lies.
Don't talk about Napoleon or Julius Caesar. You're talking about Elmire.
Elmire?
Elmire?
Who is Elmire? That question has yet to be answered with any...
I know you jokingly put in the email that you wanted to talk about movies that sound like Dr. Seuss books. But...
We have to
what
ask...
What was the version of the Dr. Seuss book you were looking forward to hear?
I honestly don't know. I didn't really know too much about the movie. And so really all I was going on was that it kind of came up because I recently got a movie account. And it came out on Mubi and I got an email. I saw something, I think you actually
Mubi,
were watching.
Please send me all advertising money.
I think you, Andrew, were watching a, what do they call that thing? Frame by...
Every frame of painting.
Yeah. And that kind of got me into it because some of the cuts looked fun. And you were talking about how you wanted to watch it. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I kind of want to watch that movie too now. And so that's really where that came from. But this movie was... I think it was real good. But it was also very much all over the place. And it had a lot of content overload to deal with. It was interesting that I knew nothing about the movie. But when they started talking about... in particular Clifford Irving, I realized that I knew about him already. I knew about him and his hoax with Howard Hughes because I'd watched the movie that was based on that with Richard Gere.
What's the name of that movie?
I think it's called The Hoax.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Very.
You said Richard Gere, so I immediately didn't care about watching that
movie. But
you don't like Pretty Woman?
I don't like Richard Gere. I think he's bad.
I wouldn't say bad, but he is Richard Gere. He's just that guy all the time. But anyway, so this movie was...
You feel better?
I think it was real good and real... I really enjoyed watching the movie. I really enjoyed the way that Wells kind of filmed it. For instance, the opening sequence... Or it's not technically the opening sequence, but the opening credits, I guess you could call it, where, you know, you're seeing the cans of film and it's kind of all coming together and showing stickers that have the name of the film on it and that kind of thing. That was really cool. And the sort of different grades of film that he uses and whatnot. That goes into the way that the film looks is great. Also, something that I'm not quite sure whether I like about this movie or I hate about him is that the way that he kind of cut the movie together and narrated the film, mm-hmm. and the way that, you know, the camera would cut to him and the way he spoke, he felt very much like Quentin Tarantino in this movie. He just felt like he was overcompensating for something. He felt like he was just a bit of a cock. For some reason, I got that impression of this man. Like, he was talking to me, and I'm like, you really think that, like, you're better than me, don't you?
You're doing that and saying something profound.
Yeah.
That only you could have come up with. You smug asshole.
I know, right? But at the same time, can I really wrong him? Because I really like this movie. It's the story or the content that it actually covers is fascinating. You know, you have basically two stories. One is Clifford Irving and how he faked his way to a book deal about Howard Hughes, and the other is, I can't remember his name, Elmire, right? Who faked his way to the art world and painting all of these classics. And, you know, it talks a lot about things that, you know, fair points, if you can't tell between, you know, the original and the fake, who is a master, and can a fake become an original if enough people believe in it, and that kind of stuff, which is fine, sure. You know, you hear that in, that's kind of like the Tencent philosopher sort of stuff. And I don't have a problem with that, that's cool. You know, but just also generally the, what they have to say and how they have to say it, And the charisma that Elmire and Irving and everybody else kind of involved in this movie has, it's just wonderful to watch. And I don't know how much we want to talk about the third act, I'm gonna call it that, but I kind of enjoyed that again. You know, it's yet another a dumb thing, but it was enjoyable. You know, the story that he put up with Picasso and mm-hmm. and what's her name, Oya somebody,
Oya,
yeah, who by the way is credited as a director as well on the movie. You know, this movie just kind of went from I don't want to say shenanigan, but from storyline to storyline, and it never stopped being interesting. You know, even the opening 2 second scene where he's talking about how he's gotten all these people to act in this movie and they don't even know because he's taping them watching Oya walk around the road, you know? It's a thoroughly enjoying documentary. Enjoying, what the hell does mm-hmm. that mean? But I loved it. I liked it a lot. Andrew, what did you think?
So Orson Welles is a fat man
on Batman.
with a beard who sits, stands in a train station, changing a key to a coin, to a nothing, to a bag of coins, to putting keys in children's pockets, to saying that he's a charlatan. And God damn him if I didn't love this movie. I adore this movie. It reminded me of things like Kiarostami's Tommy's Close Up. It reminded me of things like another Kiarostami film, Certified Copy. It did. Are you going to look at me now because I named it twice? No,
because he hit Certified Copy.
And herein lies the deal, right? Douglas said he didn't want to talk much about the third act, and Douglas is specified on two stories. This movie has around five or six of them, right? Five or six stories that it's telling. There's, you mentioned about Clifford Brown, about Elmire.
Yeah.
There's the girl, there's Picasso, there's Howard Hughes. There's even a story of Orson Welles that he starts telling about himself and how he got into a film, right? And what I love about this movie is that as it's a movie talking about lies, talking about people faking their way, and more importantly, asking you the question of, do you care whether someone lied, mm-hmm. right? Because same with the painting and them talking about if it stands up long enough, it's real, right? The question is, how much value is it in something being a real thing, a genuine thing, an original, versus being a copy, versus being a fake, right? They talk about experts and this idea of expertise where people are there calling themselves experts, but they're really just people who know some stuff. And even at that point, they're not hard to fool, right? And then when the movie gets on to its end, where it starts to tell you the story of the girl and Picasso, he goes on for a while to eventually go, I've been lying for 20 minutes. And lets you understand the idea that quite possibly he's been lying about everything in this movie. I mean, we live in a digital age now where we could have Wikipedia'd some of it. And look, I haven't. Right,
because
well, I know
about the Irving one because again, it's based on his book that he wrote, and so there's a whole nother thing about that. So I know that's generally true. But yeah.
I mean, like the Orson Welles stuff, I knew most of that. Mm-hmm. Right.
What was interesting was even in the beginning of the movie, he said something like, "Listen, for instance, let's talk about Clifford Irving. He turned out to be a con man, but before he was a con man, he was a biographer that I didn't know." Who talked about this other con man. But if you've decided now that since he was a con man then, he could be a con man earlier on, maybe his story about Elmire is wrong and he's, you know, not really a faker. He's a fake faker.
And he does the opposite example where he talks about Howard Hughes, where he tells us these stories of Howard Hughes. He tells us a story about a sandwich in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us a story about Howard Hughes supposedly walking down the Vegas Strip with tissue boxes as shoes, and then goes on to tell us a third thing and says, well, if you believe the first two, why not believe the third,
mm-hmm.
right? Regardless of whether you know for a fact the first two are true or not,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's kind of what I loved about the movie, the idea of how Welles explores the concept of lies, and more importantly, how that lie ends up being valuable to you as a consumer, as a viewer of art, whether it be this movie, Elmire's paintings, Clifford's books, or whatever else came out of lies. And it's kind of perfect, right? Just in the same way, I think Kiarostami talked about it in Close Up, where he wanted to talk about someone who was lying to a family and gave us a strange perception of that family based on how he got to con them into acting into their own story. And you go into that knowing that something has changed. Some part of what they're telling you now is a lie. You don't know which parts. Because while he caught some pieces live, like the courts, he didn't get to... You always know that the moment a movie camera is playing, someone doesn't show their true self all the while. They're going to show a different version of themselves, which is more appealing. Right? And worse, when you start to direct those people in their own lives, it gets strange. That movie, I think, pairs up perfectly with F of Fake. And I think that's the reason why, for my top five, I'm not talking about Close Up. But yeah, guys, this movie, it got me. I do feel, like how you said, that it is content heavy. And it feels like a kind of movie that I want to watch two or three more times to kind of grab onto some more threads that I know I missed. Right? Some more little unique cuts that Wells put in just to mess with you. But I feel like I've gotten a good enough idea of what the movie was looking forward to. And more importantly, I just got entertained.
Exactly.
And Wells put it together in a way that just, you're just joyously going through these lies.
Yeah, and what's great about this movie is, so documentaries are generally, well, I don't want to say general, but usually documentaries aren't very exciting, right? There are a few, and we've spoken about a couple here, but this one is captivating from a content standpoint, from just a delivery standpoint in terms of the way that you cut from one to the other and the way that he tries to kind of narrate between them. And captivating from just a visual standpoint, the way that the pictures that are on the screen look. All of those things come together and just merge and make this wonderful thing.
Is that phone conning you into thinking it's a phone?
I'm pressing the home button and it is ignoring me.
Okay. So Damien, what do you think? What do you think of this movie?
As soon as I get my phone to talk to me, I get out of here. All right. So you guys have approached it from things that you like.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. I didn't like the movie as much as you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate the movie, but I did have problems.
Yeah.
This movie is about a half hour too long. It's about a half hour of them slow-mo shots of whatever the girl is, both at the start and at the end of the movie. Just her walking up and down.
I appreciated that shot.
Fuck no. 5 minutes is too long to be watching a girl walk back and forth, both at the start and at the end. I don't care what you're trying to set up. It is unnecessary. Telling me that she fell in love with that Picasso or whoever it was, fell in love with her, watching her walk up and down every day, having me feel this stretch of time in real time is unnecessary. Don't need that much. You could have just said, hey, you liked her, and I'd have believed you or disbelieved you, whether I think any of this movie is believable or none of it. Like, I'd have made my decision well ahead of that point. So that I didn't much like. His narration felt overbearing at times. Him actually showing up to give the narration is unnecessary. For the at no point in the movie was seeing him on screen necessary to him further in the story. I understand that his ego blocks his son most times. So no, I know that that is why that's he was going to be like he couldn't help himself. But it was unnecessary. I enjoyed the first part of the story for the reason I enjoy any movie that critiques art. And artists and experts. It is bias confirmation. I know that art is a giant scam. So none of this. All of this is just me going, well, of course this happened. Fucking course it is. Because I'm fucking criminal. I know that, you know that. We just pretend no one knows.
I don't know anything you're talking about.
I mean, it got to the point where people are now using, like, hardcore science, like testing paper and testing the age, testing the material, going, there's no way this could have existed in this time because this process only started zillions of years later. But the problem with that, too, is...
I watch White Collar as well.
No, but the problem with that, too, is there's a documentary specifically about this. They tested real-ass paintings, like verifiably real paintings. And some of them failed the test. You know, well, you guys are fucked up, aren't you? If science says this real painting is fake, then you guys are in like a world of problems. Because two things, there's only one, it only goes one or two ways if you test something that is real and the science says it's not real. Either what you have is a fake, in which case you've been fucked the entire time, or the science is bad. In which case, there's still, like, there's just no good way that this ends. And so watching it, I went, yeah, of course, you fucking assholes. Painting and being dicks. Of course. Towards the end of the movie. For other reasons, mostly Campion. towards the end of the movie, you found out that the guy making all the fakes was like, dirt poor, like was living. Someone gave him the house, like the entire life that you think someone that is able to forge masterpieces would live. He's not living any of that. It's like on his face. He went to prison. All this shit. I went, well, that sucks. But then the movie veered off in the third act. And went, like the story that they started telling became like fantastical. At least that's how I saw it. So by when the movie ended and they told you what happened in the third act, I kind of went, I think you guys may have taken that part too far. But then I went, but then the second I thought that, I went, yeah, but all of this could just be them making up shit. Like none of this is right. And I went, and when the movie ended, I sat, because I know I have to do this podcast, I sat there thinking, like, did I like this movie? I did not like this movie.
It's better than Arrow.
But that's not a rating. Like, you can't go, no, I didn't hate this movie. I didn't like this movie. Is this a middling movie? No, but it's not that either. So, it's, for the first time in a long time, it is one movie that, like, I just don't know. Honestly, I don't know. And I started watching it again, but there is nothing, like, there is nothing swaying me either way. I still got annoyed seeing Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Still got annoyed watching, like, even at the start of the movie when it's like, these guys are people watching. The fuck does that have to, like, that annoyed me even more the second time around. I'm like, this literally has nothing to do with the movie.
I didn't,
this
see,
is just him wasting my
you
time.
You know, I agree with, that's the one thing that really, I didn't necessarily appreciate, but I guess I forgave, was his clear, just ego, just shitting all over the movie, right?
Arsene Wenger, so, please, just
you know, like, as I said to you, Andrew, it was, I watched him and I'm like, this is where Tarantino gets his shit from, because,
at least,
like,
he has the decency to come in one clip
exactly
and die.
You're speaking about it, and I'm just like, yeah, that's exactly how I felt, you know. And it wasn't like the people watching thing. I was actually fine with it in a sense, but when you kind of bring everything together, right, like that, you're like him being there and him. Yeah. Oh my goodness, when he was doing that magic trick,
Jesus
and,
Christ!
Him and then him sitting down. Hold on. No, I'm not saying that I absolutely hate that. Right? You know what it is? It's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, so you seem to be an asshole, so fuck you.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, it's like my relationship with Kanye West, right? I fucking hate Kanye West. Yeah. Because at least the persona, he's the greatest guy in the world now, but the persona he presents is one of someone I need to beat the shit out of.
He's this
despicable. However, his fucking music is kind of good, right?
Beats.
Them beats be banging. Exactly. And that's what this movie is. Right? You watch it and you see the guy and you're like, you motherfucker. And then, but at the same time, you finish the movie and maybe you even hate him a little bit more because the movie is so goddamn good.
I think I would have enjoyed it more if they took out the part where they were telling you what was real and what was fake. If they just presented it as, this is the information.
Let's see it becomes an internet hunt to see who can find life.
Let's see if you dipshits can figure out, can parse out what we made up and what actually makes sense. But all of the parts where it's like, no, we're liars. Like, yeah, dog. We, like, the second you said this might all be lies, I'm up. Like, you can't, you spending time, oh, we did the War of the Worlds bit. And we did this and we did that. Yeah, of course. Now get to the point of the movie. You can't spend the first 15 minutes with things that are so far. We did all of this because we're awesome. Now here's this movie that we presented to you. Mm-hmm. And then at the end go, all of this might have been shenanigans. So, I didn't need any of that. Sure, shit didn't need his face. Didn't need him staring at buildings. He's in a park for no reason. What? But the other parts where it was the art and them shitting on the art world, I enjoyed that. But I was always going to enjoy it.
Confirmation bias.
So, I don't know. Like, it's one of these movies that, I know it's not a bad movie. Alright? I also know it's not a great movie. But I don't dislike the movie. but I don't know whether I like the movie or not. There's things that I clearly dislike about the movie. And if I had time and were willing, would sit down and edit him out of this movie. But I don't, like, even, I didn't finish watching it a second time because at some point I just went, I don't need to continue watching this. So I don't, like, I don't know. Maybe if I see it, like, a couple years from now, like, if it's brought up or something, and I see it again, I might find more to appreciate. But I definitely don't want to see this quickly again. Prove that to myself. But I know I don't dislike the movie because I don't do that with movies that actively hate. This is a pile of trash. Let me watch it again. No, I don't do that. So I don't know. I'm...
Damien.
In the middle somewhere.
Damien.
I don't.
Are you telling me that I found yet another double life of Veronique?
No.
Oh, John.
I know. That movie haunted me, man. Because I was certain there was something there. But there is. The movie's just terrible.
Are you sure?
I'm 100%. I've deleted that movie.
You could watch it again and try.
I tried enough. I'm just going to accept my initial ruling. That movie sucks. That's what I accept. I've seen his other movies. I like those. Some of those. Yeah. I don't know. So... You like it. You really like it. Like a lot.
I liked Orson Welles.
Holy shit. Orson Welles is bad.
He does what I love about documentary. When you have people who hold your hand across a documentary, there are generally two ways documentaries will go, right? There's an interviewer interviewing someone, and he cuts together the person he's interviewing to get the narrative.
Right.
Or the interview, the guy is showing you something, and he might do a narration to kind of help you along the puzzle pieces.
Right,
and that's what Welles did with this one. Right, he even though he had people telling you stories, he still felt the need to kind of show you the angle he was looking at. Because if you were to cut some of these interviews like on their own and you watch them, you're not quite sure if you're watching the story of Elmure. Just the story of a man who was young and talented and forged some paintings and then ended up poor.
The artwork said, "You're terrible."
Right.
And then he was good enough to trick everyone.
Or if you're watching a story of, as Welles likes to look at it, a story of lies. A story of just fascination of lies. Especially for someone who, let's be honest, we all know this as a fact and he admits it. He's a filmmaker who... And films are generally lies. They're all just made lies concocted for entertainment.
I only watch fake stories.
You only watch fake stories.
And true lies. Blah! I did it. Thank you. Thank you. You're all welcome. I'm going to see myself on.
And here's the thing with Welles and his narration. It does two things that I like narration to do in movies like this. Number one, let's be quite honest, his voice... It's not unappealing, right? It has that tone that I'm okay with listening to that if it was just as some people like to put it, reading the phone book, right?
Andrew's now put an image of no, I don't even want to have that image in my head. Oh my god.
Number two, when he actually like more than the point where he's just getting in between all the cuts when he's. When, like, for example, you're talking about he's in the park and he's telling his own story, the way he puts together his own story, telling you, I enjoyed it, right? Just like every other piece. So when he comes in and he starts to tell stories of the paintings on this wall, in this restaurant that he's sitting in, I enjoyed the way he put the story together, right? Just as a storyteller, as a raconteur.
I'm not going to knock you for liking that part. I'm just saying, didn't appeal to me even a little bit. Like, this movie's on Criterion for a reason. People like this movie. This is not one where they're fucking with us.
This is one of those where they needed to get back people's faith, is what you're saying.
Like, oh yeah.
We
fucked them the last three times.
Gave them the double life of Veronique.
I'm glad that you guys like it. I was kind of worried that I'd come in here and you guys just went, you know what? Well, I know Douglas was going to defend his movie because he's Douglas. I was worried Andrew was going to go, you know what?
That fat bastard.
Like, there was one clip where he was, like, in a restaurant talking and, like, demanding food. Like, pause the entire movie to demand food. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I remember that. And I remember laughing because it's Orson Welles. And all of the jokes about how Orson Welles is fat and
you're just remembering the other movie we watched.
Well, not just that, but it's a general thing.
I know.
He didn't think that was going to come back. Like, you know, he didn't realize. It's going to bite me in the ass. Going to come a point where I like food more than I like working out in any respect, and all of this is going to backfire. Nope, I'm just going to be a asshole pig and keep eating. And now I'm 1,000 pounds. But yeah, I hope the Elmire portion of the story is right. I don't care enough to look. I'm never going to. Don't want to know. Don't care. Because even if it's fake, it won't change what I think about the art world. But the rest of the movie's okay. I think it's more than okay, but there's too much things I can't point to. Survivors in this belly of a whale. Its ribs are ceiling beams, its guts are carpeting. I guess we have some time to kill. You may not remember me. I was a child of three. And you what else do we do on this podcast?
I think we spend time saying hello and welcoming our
listeners
and listening to Soca. And dancing to the left.
Can't wait to hear this.
And waving the rag.
Oh, all right. Do you rave with your left hand? Or was it right? Is there, or they'll tell us. They'll tell us.
Yeah.
Just make sure you bring your two rags so that you can easily switch.
I'm a skilled dancer. I can switch rags from one hand to the other. if they ask for a two ragged dance, then I'm out. I can't. I don't have that type of skill. That's pro soca moves. I don't have the.
You're not ambidextrous, is what you're saying.
Okay.
Not ambidextrous.
Oh my god. Alright. What are you shooting though?
What do we talk about this?
Alright, I know I'm going to hate myself for talking about it.
Aha!
But I think it would be a problem if we didn't bring this up. Damien has won the Fantasy League already. He hasn't seen the movie, but he's already won.
Right? Oh, running away with it.
Fury 7 was released last weekend here and in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And it was released to a tune of $147
million. Oh, I just like how that sounds. Entire movies have come out in January. And I remember February, there was some guy like, oh, I got 50 Shades, and I got Nickelodeon garbage. I'm rich! On 1 3-day weekend. Boom. Over. A wrap.
So, let's get to the more important question. Which is this movie good? Is this movie bad? Sharon is talking about, but Damon hasn't even seen the movie yet. But
they could give it a one, it wouldn't matter.
The conversation that the internet generally has, which is questioning why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did this movie, out of all movies, decide? Because, I mean, we expected this movie to make money, right? This movie, for the last two iterations, has been doing this business. Yeah. Has been doing 100
Big
million
business,
opening,
yeah.
100 million opening weekends. Mm-hmm. But this one, people are putting up to two factors.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you can tell me whether either factor is relevant,
mm-hmm.
or if there's another one we're not talking about.
Sure.
Right, one, it's a multicultural original practical effect action movie.
Okay,
that sounded like 10,
yeah.
But sure.
Yeah. That has nothing to do.
Two, the death of Paul Walker.
I'll attribute some of it to you.
Right, these movies started out 14 years ago with what might be called one of the worst movies ever made.
Hey, that movie's real bad.
It followed itself up with a movie worse than that.
Jesus Christ, too fast.
To the point at which everyone who still remembers it kind of likes Tokyo Drift.
Right. When they put out Too Fast, Everybody, like, even the studio went, you know what, fuck it. We're changing. Everybody. I would never want to see you people again. Fuck all of you people.
And then in 2009, the family got back together.
Like,
and it began to build steam from 4, 5, 6, and now we're at 7. So but Damien.
Right. The thing is, if it was a situation where it had always been, like, if it was steadily building, I could have gone, well, the multicultural thing might have a lot to do with it.
Or but that just people like seeing cars blow up.
No, but that, like, it's not...
Well, there is that.
But it is not the cars that is being sold on anymore.
Yeah.
What people enjoyed was a true action. Just a big, dumb action. It's the same thing people like about Transformers. We hate those movies, but people like to see dumb shit on this. Like, when you go to a theater, you want to see all the money that they claim they spend on the movie on the screen. You want to see big dumb shit. And when we saw the trailer for Furious, like the last one, the reason it did that much money is because in the Super Bowl, they put out that tank trailer. Everyone saw Ludacris go, oh, they've got a tank, and everybody, I don't care what this movie's about. They brought back What's Her Face to the movie, like From the Dead, and everybody went, this might be the dumbest movie I've ever. Like, even from the trailer, you realize, oh, Michelle Rodriguez, tank. I have to see this movie no matter what happens in this movie. And they introduced The Rock. So they kept introducing people and everyone just kept getting more hype. The reason this movie made that much money is because at the end of the last movie, they said Jason Statham. If Paul Walker died this year, I'd have attributed all of this to Paul Walker. But he died way in last year. Everyone knows how the news cycle works, right? No one even remembered, right? If you said, all right, the reason he made all of this money is because all of the Paul Walker fans, but there's no such thing. There's no Paul Walker fans anywhere. That's why his movies make so little money.
Damien,
except the ones called Furious.
Right, right. Let's make it very clear. While, yes, Paul Walker is not a viable action star, but if we were to find people who we would call a group the Paul Walker fans, they would have a very direct intersection with the group of people called Fast and Furious.
But what
fans.
I'm saying is, all those people were already going to watch the movie. Like, you can't say, oh, the only reason it would hit this number is if people outside of the Furious franchise who liked him said, all right, it's his final movie, let us give it a watch. Right? Now, if Leonardo DiCaprio was in this movie and then you heard, oh, he died while making this movie, right? Then we'd have gone, well, of course, all the people who would never have been caught dead watching this shitty movie came to see him. Fine. But that is not the case. If... Right?
He makes a fair point.
Right. All Paul Walker fans watch Fast and the Furious. This is the only way to be a Paul Walker fan. But when you... Like, the trailer for this one, you saw them parachute cars or planes.
Yeah.
And you saw Jason Statham shoot a car mid-air between buildings.
Yeah.
And everyone saw that Super Bowl commercial and went, oh, of course! Oh, yeah, I'm going to... Did you guys see that? That's the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. No one knew that is practical or not.
The big thing behind this movie is that, one, they're just shenanigans.
Yeah. They're just building off the previous
ones. They make it fun and funny, and they joke about it. They don't take it too seriously. Right? You know, like,
this movie used to be about cars.
For instance, Ludacris is like, well, shit, it's a tank?
Right. This movie used to be about cars, and the second they stopped that, that is when this movie took off.
Yeah.
The movie that started this trilogy, because at this point it's a trilogy. Five is the one where they stole the safe and drove it through the streets. That had jack
four,
shit.
Though. Four
no
counts.
One, four didn't make any money. Five is the one that finally hit the 200, 300, 400 million. Because people saw them drive a safe through the streets and went, I don't care what
the
how they did that.
It's the Dobbs trilogy. Right. It's the Hobbs trilogy.
Yeah.
It's
I don't even care how they do that. I have the Rock in that.
So it's the Rock trilogy
Rock. They finally put the Rock in this. All right, I don't even care. And you saw them weave through streets with a safe and everyone. Guys, you have to see. I know the Fast and Furious movies are bad. And I know I should stop watching them. But guys, I know I've lied to you four times in a row. I am serious this time. This is the best movie ever. They took fingerprints off a girl's bottom. Like, this is the greatest movie I've ever watched. Then the last one, they just, like, you saw them drive through a plane. You saw tanks. You know, Mr. Rodriguez is back. We don't even care how this happens. And everyone went to watch that. And at the end of that movie, they said Jason Statham. When everyone saw him walk out of that, I remember Carib lost their goddamn minds. Like, the movie didn't end. Like, holy shit, Jason Statham. And everyone was going to watch this movie just to see Jason Statham in that movie. And he died, and that is sad. I am sure it rallied a few more people just to see how they, like, people who would not otherwise gone, like, movie people who went, I need to see how they kind of cut this so that he is in the entire movie. Like, maybe it got some of those people. And maybe it got some people who would have watched it, like, on a second weekend out to the first one to see. But, come on, guys. Paul Walker fans, where? What? No. And the multicultural thing, not even a little bit.
I think, though, to be fair, I don't know how much, whether yay or nay on the multicultural thing, but I do think that the family vibe does add something to the movie, and that's a big reason why people like it. You know, that whole, like, they're a team, and the team works well.
That's a different movie. The girl asked for that wasn't showing.
and you know, they joke around with each other, and they make the situation lighter than it needs to be, and I think that adds to the
Like, there's a lot of things that have made the last couple of movies fun to watch.
Yeah.
And that is definitely one of them. But if, like, it is clear that they can only ramp up at this point. Like, there's no way they can get away with something middling, because people will just go, this was a waste of time. And they're clearly, they keep upping the ante, and they put shiny cars in there, and there's like an article in some blog, the cars are fast and furious. That is it. Like, you don't know any of the cars in the trailer. I don't know any of the cars, because no one cares.
But that means,
not
all
anymore.
Alright,
you said dumb world traveling, rock smashing action movies.
So, okay, last year Transformers 4 came out. Mm-hmm. Then Transformers is a moneymaker. I think he topped out at like, what, $250 last year?
He made a fuckload of money, and he was the worst of them all.
Right, but let's be quite honest. In the realm of summer blockbusters, mm-hmm. movies like Transformers is looking for money like what Furious just hit.
Yeah.
Right? When it came out, it creaked to 100 in the opening weekend.
But that's
right?
Because that movie was terrible.
No, but this is what I'm getting at, right? The movies are bad.
Yeah. Right, they've been bad so long it finally caught up with them. It's not like the others that sailed to trillions of dollars were spectacular. It's just no one had learned yet. Alright. Like, if you burn people enough times, at some point they have to go, alright guys, they fucked me the last couple of times. Even like, you guys hated the Hobbit movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first one quickly ran to like 200 million, and then people started saying, this movie's boring as shit, and it slowed down drastically. The second one didn't make as much money as the first one, and by the third one, like, you would have thought, alright, this is the end of the trilogy, it was balloon past all of that. But everyone went, they can't trip me. What? I'm not good at this. I think all three of those movies hovered somewhere around 200 and something million. If you had told the people that made Lord of the Rings that the three movies they made wouldn't make as much movie as one of the other Lord of the Rings movies, they told you to go fuck yourself. It's impossible. Do you see how much money that last set made? I'm going to bathe in money. But they're not great movies.
So you're saying 147 million is just natural progression at this
right.
point.
Right. And if this movie is anywhere near as good as I've heard it is, then the next movie that they put out, you'll see, even without
it'll be Avengers.
Right. It will make so. The next movie is going to make a super killing. Because everyone who went to watch this one will be just hyped to all hell to watch it. And they're never going to stop making them. They're going to make them forever, because they're big dumb action movies. They finally found something. Like, all we need to do is keep these guys in there, and we can tell literally any story we want to. As long as we have them traveling from point to point in cars at some point, we're good. We're set forever. And I can't wait. Because no one hates the Fast and Furious franchise more than Damien. I hated that first one because they ruined cars for like 8 years. Right? Both in movies and in real life. I had friends who were normal people, and then after that movie came out, there was spoilers, there was
the underground effect lights,
just all sorts of shit, unlike the world's worst cars, right? No one cared about actual good cars. They're like, I can take this heap of garbage
and soup it up to all hell. Sure, it can't turn, but who gives a fuck?
You know what I remember for those first few movies, like from 1 to 3, just seeing how those movies affected how Need for Speed games were designed.
And just people talking mad shit about the worst and the loudness. Just the mufflers and the noise. Just the fastest cars in the world don't make that noise. They don't. And so they ruined cars for years. And they were also the worst movies. It's not like there was anything redeemable about them.
Nope.
Those three movies were a travesty.
Those two movies. Actually, that one middle movie. Douglas still has nostalgia goggles for the number one. And number three just tickles me the right way for some reason.
Right? Like, I didn't...
He goes to Japan after that.
I didn't go to the theater to watch any one of these movies until six.
I don't remember the second one, but I definitely went to the first one.
I had to be convinced that five was a watchable movie.
I remember from 4 up. I don't remember if I went to 2 or 3.
I don't think I went to 3 either. I know I went to 4 and I went to 5. And then I didn't go to 6. And then we just went to 7.
I saw the first one on TV and went, this might be the worst thing I've ever seen. When the second one came out, I went, well, it's tied to that one. So there's no way it can be good. And I was right. The third one, I kept hearing DK jokes, the Drift King Donkey Kong thing. And I was in the sweet spot of Blu-ray versus HD DVD. So I didn't even want to get involved with any of that. The fourth one came out and they were like, Vin Diesel's back. I'm like, everything he's done since Pitch Black has been a train wreck. So I don't know how him coming back.
Are you
one of these
Pitch Black apologists?
I will apologize for Pitch Black.
What is wrong with you?
I will apologize for Pitch Black.
That movie is horrible.
I will not say you're wrong. I'm not going to argue that. What I will say is I did enjoy that movie.
I would say as a fact, Vin Diesel wasn't in a good movie with the exception of 2.
It was in
The Iron Giant and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Boiler Room.
What about
Boiler Room?
Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan there.
And there was one where he was in a courtroom accident.
Oh, yeah.
Defending
himself.
That one
was good too. Find Me Guilty.
I remember kind of enjoying it.
Those movies I remember in a haze of watching movies with stars on TV when I was a teenager. I have to ask you, were they really good?
They're good movies. The one, Find Me Guilty. He's so good in that I forgot he was Vin Diesel.
I mean, unless you were going to name Triple X, and at that point, we'd have to remember PlayStation jokes.
So that's yet another nostalgia goggles movie.
More PlayStation.
I really did hate Vin Diesel for a good while there. He was just a beacon for garbage. Remember the sequel to Pitch Black.
Yeah.
What the fuck that was?
Riddick. Chronicles of Riddick.
I got out of my house, dressed up, went down to Carib, because I enjoyed Pitch Black. I went to
you
watch
went
that.
Happy. You
yeah.
Happy,
and I said, finally, something I like him in. I was halfway through that movie, I realized, I fucked this.
Here's what happened to me, and maybe I just did it backwards, and that's the problem. I watched that movie first.
I watched it first.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
And everybody kept saying to me, Douglas, I know.
Yeah.
But Pitch Black. Yeah. Pitch Black was great. Pitch Black was awesome. And then I said, okay, fine. You know what? I will eat my pride.
Yes.
I will actually sit down. Exactly. And it was still horrible.
I can't imagine watching it that way. That sounds horrifying. I'm very sorry. If someone with that says Pitch Black is terrible, I can't argue with them. What else is I enjoyed Pitch Black. And then Furious, terrible. Furious 4, terrible. Like, it was less bad, but it was still bad.
I rewatched Furious 4 the other day. I actually like that movie.
It's less bad, but it's still bad. But then when Furious 5 hit, you went, holy shit.
Yep.
Like, this has nothing to do with Fast and Furious. This is just an excuse to drive things through Brazil. And then
Furious 6 is spectacular. Like, there's just no denying. There's, like, Superman jumps and tanks. It's, like, one of the best action movies of all time. And you can think whatever you want.
Remember,
if I don't watch it again, I don't have to admit it.
They drove down a landing strip for about 5 hours.
14.
At least 6,000 miles an hour.
It's just the best. It's just the best. Fast and Furious movies are dumb.
Word.
Alright. It's easy because, like, it's easy to tell people what is good action and what is bad action.
So,
my mother loves the Furious movies.
By the way,
she wanted to watch the first one. Before you go. She wanted to watch the first one. I made her watch the first one. And she cannot believe that the ones with The Rock have anything to do with the first
one. That's not a bad theory to have.
Kiss my ass.
I can't hear you.
I'll say it a little louder than get fucked.
Listen, loyalty is very touching, but it is not the most important thing in your life right now. But what is important is gravity. I have to remind you, Sally, this is my week off.
You can't kill me, Matrix. You need me to find your daughter.
Where is she?
I don't know. I cooked those. I'll take you where I'm supposed to meet her.
But you won't.
Why not?
Because I already know. Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Matrix. You did.
I lied.
So moving on.
Yes.
We're doing a lot of moving on here, I noticed.
This week, tying in with FFake, Douglas has asked us to talk about our top 5 con man films.
Mm.
So Douglas, since it was your recommendation,
right?
Why don't you kick us off?
Okay.
Top 5 con man movies, right?
So,
Douglas?
Right, yeah. And my number 5 is A for Andrew Made Me Change His List.
And B for, oh boy, I didn't want to change his list.
And C for that. I don't think of a C word.
Okay, so all right, so top five con man movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna start right with the fuck you to Andrew with the Brothers Bloom. My number 5 with a bullet.
Who is it number 5? Douglas loves his tactic of just taking movies early. There was no good reason.
5?
Yes, 5. Okay.
Well, my number 5. My number 5 is also the Brothers Bloom.
That was my number 3, Douglas. Uh-huh. Okay, you want to play that game?
Yep.
Hey, all right, listen. Can we stop it?
You guys, my number 5 is actually a movie that is a sequel, and oddly enough, not that many people like it as much as the original. I disagree. I like the original, but I love this one more. It's Scorsese's The Color of Money, right? Because while we have more elaborate con men movies out there that we all love, if it's just a pool shark with fast Eddie Fingers Felsen going at it with Tom Cruise being the most Tom Cruise in the 80s, I love that movie. Right?
Okay. Speaking of Scorsese, my number 5 is The Wolf of Wall Street. everyone loves this movie. I don't need to explain why people need to watch this, right? We've accepted that it's like one of the best movies of all time already.
Is it one of the best con man movies, though?
Yeah. What is that man if not a, he's not a con man? I don't know who
it is. Actually, I was surprised earlier to discover at the end of the movie when he's being introduced, the guy introducing him is the real Jordan Belfort. I didn't know that.
I found that out because everyone on the internet screamed it at me all at once.
Yep.
Sometimes I hate YouTube so much.
No, you don't.
Funny. No,
a lot. I got a lot.
Okay. So my number 4. One. Actually, I'm not sure if you guys would have had it. I know we probably all love this movie. But my number 4 is Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio.
That one was one
exactly.
I know Daniel loves it.
Okay.
And you didn't have it on his list.
Oh, Tom Hanks, Leo DiCaprio. That was the first movie I ever watched and said, you know what? I really like him.
That DiCaprio child. He might have a future ahead of him.
Yeah. I remember hating him from before that. But
like Vin Diesel, I hated him a whole lot.
Yeah.
Not like a small amount, like a lot. Then I saw the one with him on Johnny Depp.
Gilbert Grape.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
He's not just the devil.
Yeah.
He can act.
Yeah.
And then went back to hating him until He did The Beach, right?
Oh, yes, he did.
Jesus Christ.
I still haven't seen that one.
You know, I didn't mind that movie when I watched it.
How old were you again? Six?
I want to watch it mainly because I think that's the only Danny Boyle film I haven't 13. Watched.
It's not good.
it's not great.
Actually,
but it's
no,
not
I haven't
horrible.
Seen Millions either.
You haven't seen Millions?
I think I've seen like bits of it on TV, but I've never really sat down to watch it.
I remember I liked it at the time, but probably just because I knew it was Danny Boyle and decided I had to like every Danny Boyle movie.
Have you seen Shallow Grave yet?
Yes, but a long time ago. I don't really remember it.
It's so good. Anyways, my number four.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the most important con men movies of the last few years, last few decades, as it brings two iconic actors together to play off one another. And this is the one Mr. Steve Martin and Michael Caine.
I could have sworn nobody was going to have that. Nobody. That's my fucking number one. That's one. No, actually, no, it's not. But nobody was going to have
that
one.
I love that movie.
God damn it. Nobody. You assholes.
I remember someone taking two of my movies.
And you being a lot more cool than
I wonder who it was. Some fucking scumbag.
Some dirty, rotten fucking scoundrel.
Said, you know what, the brother's room is the fucking guys.
As you see, Michael Caine have to...
Michael Caine.
Have to take the mark over to Steve Martin, who's playing a simpleton, who drools, wears an eye patch, and has a stick. You know that this movie is gold.
Alright. My number four. It's four, right? I've crossed off like five movies of Sapphire. So I don't remember anymore. Is American Hustle.
Bomba Club.
Another one that I left off the list just for the sake of it.
Yes, because that is like that has become one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, and that is why I put it in there.
Go
because
fuck
it's
yourself.
One of my favorite movies. This movie is spectacular.
Live and let die.
Sorry, that's not the movie I'm talking about. American Hustle. It's a completely different. It's like James Bond. He's a con man.
He technically is.
The biggest one. He's done it for 23 movies now.
I can use that movie.
No, you can't.
Veto. Veto in his movie.
Alright.
Douglas Robinson, it's your turn.
My turn?
I swear to God, so, if Douglas picks one more of my movies, I'm going to go for that.
No, this one is definitely not going to be one of your movies. This movie, it definitely... I don't think it skirts it, but it may bend the rules a little bit. Is a Coen Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we all here love the Coen Brothers. It stars...
Does it have a nail on a fanny?
No, it does not, but that's yet another one. I was just thinking, right? And I thought of my first one. I'm like, that's, you know, debatable. And then as I was thinking about their cadre of movies that they've made, there are quite a few that could kind of slot into this thing. There's that one, and I was also thinking of maybe the other one that has to do with, you know, Odysseus. because that one too works, but that's not what I was thinking of. So the movie that I'm thinking of, and this is probably the movie that kind of brought me into the fold of the brothers that are Coen. Stars, I shouldn't say stars, but includes Bruce Campbell, who is actually in a bunch of their movies. Stars Rachel Lee
Cook.
Cook? Is it Cook? Is it? No, it's not.
I don't know.
Don't
know what movie you're talking about.
And none other than Tim Robbins. It is The Hudsucker's Proxy.
Mm-hmm.
I love this movie. This movie, it's just the right kind of offbeat comedy. that the coins were known for at that point and kind of have gone away from recently. And I know. Well, actually,
no.
In a way,
True Grit is just like that movie.
True Grit is a while back. You look at the stuff that they've done.
Serious Man was before that, and those movies are that type of comedy. Like, it's the same type of comedy. Like, they still have, like, there's jokes in there, so there's a lot of laughs there, but it's still kind of a serious movie.
Look at the same with the Hot Soup Across. The Cole movie, what's it called again?
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah.
But even that movie too, there's jokes in it.
It's a twisted sense of humor.
Yeah. Like, all their movies are the same to me.
You see, the thing about the Coen brothers is, as you watch their movies, they have their scale, right? On one end is being funny, and on the other end is being depressing and darkly serious, right? And the truth of the matter is, they never hit the ends of the scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're always somewhere in the middle. A little bit lean one way, a little bit lean the other way.
I find myself laughing the same amount at all your movies.
Yeah, but no, like, but what I'm talking about is a specific thing, and it's not like, you know, that there are things that are funny in their movies, because you're always going to have it. But just the tone and a prime example could be that movie, but let's go even further and talk about a movie that a lot of people actually hate. Which is, what's it called again? Massive Prenup.
Intolerable Cruelty.
Intolerable Cruelty. Where every camera angle is Kate O'Connor and every character is saying shit like hammer on Fanny and nail his ass. That kind of stuff.
Right.
They don't do that anymore.
That's true.
Right? And that they used to do that a lot. Look at that movie. Look at Hot Soccer Proxy. Look at the Oh Brother Where Art Thou. You know, look
I
at
try
all
not
of
to
that.
Look at Oh Brother
oh,
Where.
I love that movie. But either
I think
way,
that's why. I don't think of that movie as their movie. I think that's why.
Oh, okay.
You just don't like the Soggy Bottom Boys, do you?
Not even. <anything. laughs> I don't enjoy that movie. It's scary that it's a Coen Brothers movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's the one of all their movies that I just look at and
The one I look at and I don't like that much. I think I should rewatch it.
I think kind of you are the same.
Is the one with Clooney and Brad Pitt. And
Burn After Reading.
Burn After Reading.
I didn't like that one when I watched it.
I watched it recently.
I need to watch it again.
I watched it recently. Yeah. Worried. I'm like, why do I still have this movie? Do I like this movie? I love that movie.
But you know what movie I watched and wasn't a huge fan of? Was actually one of their older ones with Turturro and John...
Goodman?
What is it called again? Barley? No.
Barton Fink.
Yes. That one was a little bit iffy for me. But essentially everything else I've seen from them, I'm fine with.
So you're the Hot Soccer Proxy.
Hot Soccer Proxy. And you know, you could talk about, Rachel Lee Cook. I think that might be her name.
I think that's her name.
Her, you know, conning him into thinking that she's something that she's not. Technically him.
Pulitzer.
Yeah. and just the overall like tone of the movie, you know, it's for kids and oops, I forgot to turn it the wrong way. It's a circle. It's just crazy.
My number three is one of the more classic selections that hasn't been mentioned yet. And it's
set this one off the list.
And it's the Redford and Newman duo again, coming in with the Sting. As we learn, a couple of grifters can do the long con just as good as anyone else. It is fantastic. I think I've only seen it a couple of times, but I really need to watch it again. I love this movie so much, though. It's kind of glorious.
Twist!
Alright, bottom. My next movie is Eddie Murphy at his Eddie Murphiest. Best of Eddie Murphy, Trading Places. I love that movie, and I will love it forever.
Was he a con man?
Yes,
absolutely.
He was skating around on the wheel on the skateboard with no legs, and then they picked him up.
I can walk.
It's a con man the entire time. That movie is about three devious con men. I love that movie. It's so good. Every time I watch old Eddie Murphy, just look at the new one and just go, what the fuck?
I thought you were going to be Coming to America.
So no, that's not a con man. I think you're I think you're talking about Distinguished Gentleman. That was a con man movie.
I don't think I've seen that.
You should just watch good Eddie Murphy movies to wash away the memory of shitty.
So I should
Pluto
stop,
Nash.
So I should stop watching The Haunted House over again.
You should. You should. That's actually a medical disease. There's a cure.
Is it called blowing up your television?
The fine folks at Pfizer have come up with a cure for watching Haunted House.
How many pills do I have to take?
A lot. A lot. I understand people are...
What, how soon until I'm cured?
You're stuck in a trance for a while where you can't help it, but look at the TV that's going, and you're just screaming the entire time. It's a different version of Tourette's, but it's only triggered by one thing. Right.
So Douglas.
Yeah.
Okay, so my next con man movie is going to be... What number are we at again?
Two.
He started, so two.
Okay,
two,
cool. Yeah. And I didn't ask that question to get more time. So,
Not at all. I know, Douglas. You'd never...
My number two... which I only realized why it's a con man movie now after thinking a little bit, is absolutely A Fish Called Wanda. I love this movie. It's great. You know, almost anything with John Cleese I have to watch at least.
Ken. Kevin Kline.
He's classic. Both of those guys. You know, it's sad that I don't watch more of his movies.
I have one for you to watch.
Which one is that?
The Ice Storm.
It's great. And, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is a good con lady in it.
I think you mean con woman.
Con woman?
Like,
no,
con
I mean
lady.
Con lady.
There's no con lady. It's not a word.
There's no anchor lady.
Google con lady. Zero results.
Your phone doesn't do that.
Not this phone.
Pile
of trash.
But that movie, I mean, you know, as Nietzsche said, right? You should always wake up in...
What was the middle part?
I'm sorry?
Who said I mean the middle part again?
Sorry? Where do you think you are?
Moving on. My number two. I crossed my fingers hoping Douglas wouldn't take it. Because I know he knows I like this movie. But I wasn't sure whether he would be willing to... So besmirch his list with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite David Mamet films, and it's House of Games.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Right?
Of it.
You have Joe Mantegna, you've got Ricky Jay, and they're doing card tricks, they're doing con tricks. You're just seeing everything go all wrong. And the thing I love about David Mamet movies, and it's one of those things where it can be a plus or a minus depending on who you are and how you feel about it. He's the kind of guy which writes characters who he feels are intentionally cool. Feels who the characters always want to know to themselves that they're cool. We can be talking about Al Pacino's character in Glengarry Glen Ross. We can be talking about Joe Mantegna in this movie, House of Games, where they just feel in any situation that they'll have no problem talking themselves out of it. They'll never need to lean off of this wall if they don't have to. They're just always there, just feeling permanently cool, and I love it about them, right? It's the bravado that I like in movies, and with the style of Mamet, it works perfectly every time for me.
I don't like Mamet. Even a little bit. My number two is The Ocean, and there is 11 of them. Sometimes there's 12 or 13.
12 is a better movie.
Focus on 11. You're so wrong, I'm not even going to entertain that. Even a little bit. Everyone
Douglas,
likes these
Douglas,
movies.
Douglas,
everybody.
I want us to mark this point in history.
Mm-hmm.
While I know it's a commercial movie, I'd like to note Damien named a Soderbergh movie on his list.
It had to have me eventually. Can I make 19 million movies and not have one of them be likable? No, wait. The one with Channing Tatum and the girl, the boxer girl. He did that.
Haywire.
Yes. Haywire, right. I like that too. Alright. Just another one. He's 2 for 50. He's okay. Like Woody Allen. Except a little bit.
By one, right?
By like one.
So my number one is a movie about a con man.
Mm-hmm.
Who cons people into thinking that he's not a police officer. Falls in love with somebody's sister and then is outed in his con.
Kevin Hart is.
He does not surf. He drives cars. Therefore, this is Fast and the Furious.
Fucking knew it. I was going to make, you know what's funny? I was instead of making a Kevin Hart crack, I was going to make a Paul Walker joke. Like, seriously. Right? And then I saw him, like, not even flinch. I went, oh shit.
It's Point Break for cars.
One day
later. It's absolutely
one second later.
Fast and Furious. I am going to actually use my number one. Mm-hmm. My proper number one. Mm-hmm. Which I can use because nobody took it. My number one stars Steve Martin.
Is it a religious one?
It also stars Martin Short.
Oh, no.
It also stars Chevy Chase. It is The Three Amigos. Because those three motherfuckers conned a whole town into thinking they were the real thing. That they were actually horse riding, gunslinging
until
saviors.
Did they con them though?
They absolutely con them, but it's great. Exactly, it's great because it's a fucking double fake. It's a double con because not only did they con the town, they con the town by accident because somehow the town conned them into thinking that this shit was real and that they were just.
I'd like to have one of our secret conversations away from Douglas now. Do you think he's old enough for us to explain what a con movie is or what a con is? Do you think he's old enough for us to tell him that story now?
I'm afraid. I'm afraid it's too late.
To take away that innocence from him.
And let him have it.
Let him have it. Let him have it.
A double con. Oh my god.
It's a double con.
You're a double idiot.
And it's a triple con because John Landis conned you guys into thinking he directed a movie that wasn't a con movie.
It's a triple con because you conned us into thinking you're an actual host for this podcast. Not some jackass that we keep talking to.
Sorry guys, my number one has finally come. It's time to don this crown. And it goes to a very recent movie. But one of, I'd like to hope, all of our favorites in some way.
Mm-hmm.
When it came out. It gave us one of the best prison movies, and more importantly, gave us a character which reminded us repeatedly that his word is his motherfucking bond. Right? As Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor tell us about I Love You, Philip Morris.
Good job, sir.
My word is my bond. My motherfucking bond. I love that movie so much, guys.
Really?
I need to go home and watch that movie again. I love that movie.
Man.
I remember absolutely 100% being just amazed by how good that movie was. I couldn't believe it.
It's so good. Good.
Everything that about that movie is incredible.
You guys like that movie
it's so
much.
Good. It's one of the few times I like that movie enough.
A long time, I thought I hated that movie. But I realized what it is. It's not that I hate that movie. It's that that movie's okay. But you motherfuckers just love it so much that I feel like I have to be on the other side of that seesaw.
Like, that movie came up some shit like the Yes Man or some garbage. I just went, oh, I guess that's it for Jim Carrey. He'll never be in anything good again. And then just out of the blue,
this
amazing movie.
And then Kate Kikas too. So, you know, he evens it out for us. Right?
Yeah,
he keeps us on our toes.
No, not really. I've given up years ago. I knew Philip Morris was a fluke. Good seat. My number one It's a movie I've loved for years. It stars the boss, Clint Eastwood. So you know two things. There's dirt and there's guns. And it is
and
the good.
There's lawns and he has to get off of it.
No, it's not that one. He was a con man in that one. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Clint Eastwood plays this idiot con man. Him and his friend are getting into trouble and then he's shooting the rope so that they can escape. It's fantastic. I know people who are my age that haven't seen that movie. And it saddens me to no end.
But I mean, I hadn't seen that movie up until around 4 years
You're
ago.
Not people.
What? Well, I don't think that's true because...
Well, alright. I think I saw it when I was younger, but I barely remember it. And I also remember certain things about that viewing, including being told to leave the room repeatedly and then come back in whenever there were violent scenes.
You don't get to see the naughty bits, Andrew.
What naughty bits? There's nothing naughty about that movie. That's,
I remember, recently my father playing one of his records. I can't remember exactly who it is this record is of, but the guy starts talking on the record and talking about how he's Lee Van Cleef, the ugly one. And then I stood there and I'm like, you know he's the bad, right? The ugly one.
That's Eli Wallach, right?
Yeah, you guys. Or no, Kingston. You guys fucked up your references with your own horseshit. Yep.
Turns out musicians are dumb,
especially Jamaican musicians.
I mean, that we've known that for years. One of them made up the word sideways me. Can't beat that. That's incredible.
True.
God, I love
that. That can be used as a verb, right?
Yeah, he did in the song. Move from sideways me. It's incredible.
What?
No, I'm pretending like you have another one to say.
Okay.
I've just seen how long it takes to realize.
Okay, good, because I was like, I've said my number one already.
Shut up.
It's
a lot fun list. I enjoyed this. Much better than the Dr. Seuss idea that some jackass.
That was you, actually. You're the
I'm
one
sorry.
Who
I'm, it's idea. Very. Listen, I've been drinking a lot of Kool-Aid the past couple of days. Bad.
Make sure they don't slip anything into Kool-Aid.
God, I hate children. There's no way I'm having any children.
Anyways, thanks so much for listening. As always, you can hear the show over at gmaninterviews.com or through iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much and good night.
And please, go watch Fast and Furious.
Don't! Stop it right now! Don't do it!
I think we should call this episode the Double Bluff. A night so dark and waning, a dawn obscured by a slate sky time.